most people's kids bring home stray puppies and kittens. Not my two youngest. They brought home lost people. 2004, I moved into probably the neatest apartment on the East Coast. I lived 15 feet under a shopping mall. It was like the Batcave. You come down and in, and it opened up into a courtroom. It used to be the magistrate's office in Hanover, Pennsylvania. Had the judge's stand, the witness stand, holding cells, handcuffs and chains still in the walls. Huge office space, almost as big as the seating area here. Two bathrooms, a full kitchen, and little private offices that had belonged to the police, the state's attorney, and the public defender. I have two young kids then, 12 and 14. Josh, the 14-year-old, ends up coming to live with me. One Saturday morning, I'm sitting working. I'm a writer. I'm sitting at my computer writing, and this little black kid walks through my living room pushing a bicycle. He says, "Hey, Pops, thanks for letting me stay. I've got to go to work now, but I'll be back later." And off he goes, up the prisoner walk to the street. So I go over and knock on the door for my son's bedroom. I said, "Josh, we have to talk." He says, "Huh?" I said, "Who was that?" He said, "Oh, that's just Shorty." I said, "Who's Shorty?" He said, "Well, Shorty goes to school with me, and Shorty's got a problem." I said, "Well, Josh, we all have problems. What is Shorty's?" He said, "Well, Shorty's dad died 2 months ago." I said, "That really is a problem. I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "Yeah, well, Thursday night, Shorty came home to an empty apartment. His mother had taken his two little sisters and gone off to North Carolina and left him a note that the man she'd met on the internet didn't mind two little girls but didn't want to deal with a teenage boy. She left him dinner, a bed, a TV, and a couple of pots and pans. So I told him, you take care of him." That was the beginning of a 3.5 to 4 year period in which I ended up with up to 18 kids sleeping in my very large apartment. My boys would find children walking the streets and bring them home. Jake, the youngest, called me the dad of Hanover. Luckily, we found Shorty's grandfather a short while later, so his stay wasn't long. But over the winter, we picked up RJ, who actually had finished school, but couldn't get along with his parents and couldn't find a job. I had Luis, who really was searching for a home. My middle son, Josh, found him. And Luis came there, and he started calling me dad right away. And he was so desperate for some kind of a family feeling that he insisted that we all go to the same all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant every Saturday as a, quote, family tradition. He called me dad because he says, quote, "You're more like a father than my father. I just remember a short, fat Mexican guy used to kick the shit out of me all the time." There were Tommy and Corey, and there was a whole bunch, Javi. In the summer, the ranks would swell. 17, 18 kids would sleep there at night. In the winter, four or five regulars would stay. Some found jobs. Others would stay while they were looking for jobs. And, of course, I had rules. Now, in a house this big, I set it up so that they had things to do. I figured if they're in my courtroom, they're not in somebody else's, which was a good thing. So we had an Xbox. I had a computer in the back. And they actually started to mix rap music on the net, set up a website, and had kids paying them a couple hundred dollars a month to download their music. RJ was very good at mixing music just off a PC. And there we could throw the football. I mean, the courtroom was big enough to throw a football in. We played football in the courtroom. I had two legs then, so that we could do that. Now, the rules were pretty simple. No drugs, no way, no how. No smoking in the building or in the mall, no hanging out in the mall or within 50 feet of the mall. I didn't want my landlord to throw me out. No beer, unless you give some to Mr. Joe. And no girls overnight. So, of course, one morning in the middle of a hurricane-like storm, I wake up and I know something's wrong right away. I got maybe 15 teenage boys sleeping in the courtroom. and it's as quiet as a church. And I walk back and I look, and in the middle of this pile, this little blonde head perks up. This is Savannah. Savannah is 16. She has blonde hair, blue eyes, fair complexion, and a sweet southern accent. My youngest son, Jake, had found her the night before standing out on the sidewalk crying in the middle of the storm and brought her home and didn't tell me because he knew I didn't allow girls. Now, I'm panicking. I've got a 16-year-old girl with 16-year-old boys. I can just see the police out looking for this girl, and what kind of a house am I running here? So I think quick. I said, well, Savannah, you can't stay here. They're all boys. She said, I've got no place to go. My mother came up here. She met a man on the internet. I can't get along with a man. They threw me out last night. What is going on here? But I thought quickly. I'm smart. I can't have a girl here. I said, Savannah, this is what we'll do. If your mother will come here and tell me that you can stay here, then I'll let you stay. We'll work something out. Now, it stopped raining, so Savannah went home. I said, got rid of that. No mother in her right mind is going to let a girl stay here. 30 minutes later, my door goes boom, boom, boom. I walk out. I look down. There's this woman about this high. She says, I can't do anything with her. You take her. Turns around and walks away. So I told Josh, I said, Josh, you just lost your room. Savannah's not sleeping in the back. You're going in the back, and Savannah gets to sleep there. This, over the years, everything worked out. Savannah started, a couple weeks later, going back to her mother's to wash her clothes. They started talking, and Savannah went back. Luis is now in Oregon working as a chef. RJ got married, has a kid, and is the produce manager at a grocery store. Three or four of the boys went in the Army. They're doing well. They're out now or about to get out and pursuing their education using the GI Bill. My son Josh, who started it all, is in Pittsburgh working two jobs, going to a community college. And my youngest son, Jake, won a scholarship to Temple. And after his first semester, I just got a letter that he made the dean's list as one of the outstanding students at one of America's great universities. So for all the craziness that we had, we provided, I think, some sort of shelter where these kids could reach their full potential. And I guess that's all you can ask of any home. Thank you.